from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of Scripture underlying our meditation this morning are the first verses of the Gospel, selecting from John chapter 2, which tell us the story of Jesus cleansing of the temple. This is an event which is very atypical in the life and ministry of our Savior. Hardly ever did he engage in such direct action. Seldom did he use such force to bring home the lesson to his audience. Much more often, as we know from the reading of the Gospels, we see the Savior in the stance of a passive recipient of that kind of action, bearing the stigma of contempt and rejection from the people that he was trying to reach. Often he was the object of violence, receiving the lashes from the hands of others. But here we see the Savior in a real dramatic confrontation. And we can imagine the impact this must have made there in the temple. When the money changers' tables suddenly were overturned, and all the previously neatly stacked types of coins tinkled in helter-skelter fashion to the high children below. When the bleating of the sheep and the lambs and the heifers ready there for sale to those who would bring sacrifices were driven out, and the flutter of the doves and the cages as they were driven off the floor by the Savior with the last in hand. What did Jesus ever have in mind with that kind of violence? He was trying to drive home the point that unless they could purge themselves of the spirit of the money changers, they could never have a sincere and holy zeal for the house of the Lord. And so he laid it on them physically, literally, and drove them home, so that they should be so upset to think of the challenge now of starting to walk with Jesus. Here first, as at this Passover, he would go into the temple with many other pious believers, looking forward yet at that point to the coming of the promised Messiah, and seeing in these elaborate Passover sacrifices and celebrations the typical, the type of the Savior to come. These many changers would never be able to meditate on that because they were busy in the forefront of the temple and at the entrance changing money. Or they probably had all kinds of good reasons that they could have voiced if Jesus had given them time. And I suppose after they picked up their coins and gathered their animals together again and sat back down in their places of business, they reasoned among themselves, but we are the ones who are making it possible for all these children from distant places to take meaningful part in the services in this great house of God. But what they were really after was the profit they were making from the exchange of the coins and from the sale of their sacrificial animals. And so, presumably, most of them at least missed the whole cross confrontation with the Savior now at the beginning of his public ministry, and presumably never walked with him on the highways and byways through Samaria and Galilee to witness the many miracles that he did, and to hear the many discourses that he delivered, and to hear him prophesy of his forthcoming suffering and death. And so, when at the very end of his public ministry, Jesus again comes to Jerusalem, as he had told his disciples, it is necessary that the Son of Man go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things, and and be saved and be put to death. Returning to the same place, according to the other gods, the synoptic relates that there he saw the money changing, sitting, prison, changing money and selling sacrificial animals. And he brought them out of him. And presumably, those money changers, even they did not change their ways. They presumably failed to walk with Jesus up the Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrow, from where the temple stood up to Golgotha. We may assume that they were too busy to go up there and behold the three prophets. But they were too preoccupied with the prophet notice to see that on that central cross, the Savior, the Son of God, died for them. You think this text is one of the gospel texts that has all law in it? Yes, it is all law. But what Jesus was emphasizing is that unless you heed this danger signal, there are two danger signals, one at the beginning of the ministry, one almost at the end of his public ministry. Danger, narrow bridge, or whatever we could envision by modern parallelism, you will not be able to walk the way of the cross and of salvation with Jesus. And those two danger signals are necessary also for us. Beware of the spirit of the money changer if we would really have a holy zeal for the Lord's house. In spite of these dire warnings, today the money changers are still sitting there. But the temple is gone, of course. The exact location may be somewhat in question, but at the Mosque of Omar, which is fairly good authentication, stands on the place where the temple stood, the money changers were happy to take the pounds off the hands of the tourists for admission to see the holy place for the two religions which reveal that place. The money changers are present, for example, the young man who landed on the Mount of Olives with a camel, boasting at Christmas time, I take in $1,000 from these anxious tourists who want their picture taken on the Mount of Olives on Christmas Day, sitting on a camel. Or the sellers of jewelry and souvenirs, including beautifully carved heads of Christ, made from authentic olive wood, all of course from the Mount of Olives, rubbing their hands in glee, as I saw myself just 2 weeks before Christmas last year, that there would be, yes, they anticipated 50,000 Christians coming to worship, and the money changers were sitting at the gate, ready to make their profit. And you say, that holds only for the various descendants of Abraham, and in this one thing, all the descendants of Abraham are joined together, no matter how much they may fight on other things. But thank God this does not hold for us. Have you ever seen a money changer sit at one of our church bells? No. I must say, I have not. But we have Christian churches in the world today where the whole church is full of money changers. You know, we deceive ourselves, but that's not so important for us today. But we live in a society and in a culture which has been almost completely monetized. As one famous sociologist has put it, there is nothing that transpires between individuals and Western society unless money changes hands. that's what O'Neill Wilson describes as the past lecture. That's the modern spirit of the money changer. And maybe this is why there can be so little honest and holy zeal for the Lord's house. We need to scrape off this overlay. We need to drive out the spirit of the money changer in our own house, in our own lives, and ask ourselves whether sometimes it is not more important to stay than to ask how much can I make out of it. We need to take heed to those two dangers of those that Jesus posted there at the entrance to the temple or the holy place, the presence of God, and walk between them, because if they don't, they will fall away on either side. And only when we heed that warning of God will we be able to follow the Savior as he bore his cross up the Via Dolorosa. Only then will we be able to stand there in reverent awe and gratitude to God for the sacrifice he brought in Golgotha. Only then will we be able to really appreciate the resurrection and the opportunity for service for the risen Christ. Yes, may the zeal, the holy zeal of God's heart, fill our hearts and give direction to all of us. Amen.